Welcome to the Ventura Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bonnie Rose. This is the Kindness Cathedral, and we are here to celebrate the goodness of all of life. I'm going to go ahead and pass the word to our board president, Lonnie.
Good morning, everyone. You know, Bonnie, I'm a little obsessed with fall.
With fall?
With fall.
Okay.
You know, it feels really good.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was Googling
what
fall represents,
okay.
And I thought it's perfect for this morning. So it's a great opportunity to go within and reflect on something that you can let go, and that creates space for something greater. So I'm just inviting everybody here in the sanctuary and out in our wonderful Facebook family just to contemplate that as we navigate this wonderful service.
So you want to let go of something?
Well, I obviously let go of my memory because I had to write it down. Doesn't that count?
Well, not to step on your punchline, but can I have your shoes? Because I really like them.
You can have them.
Thank you.
But I can't wear yours.
So. Oh, okay. All righty. All right. What she said. Anyway, happy fall, everybody. Let's invite Bill coming forward. Bill is one of our youth and family people, and we're so excited to see him here today. At least I am. Hi.
Awesome.
Hi.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm Bill Hadris with Youth and Family. And can I invite all the kids to come down here with me?
Yay.
Everybody come on down. Paul, Kaya, Kennedy, come on down here and come sit with me, would you? Awesome. Right here, I need you right here for me, okay?
You can just sit on the stage.
Or if you want to sit up here, you can help me. Go ahead. Cool.
Hi, Nico.
Come on, guys.
See you. Come on up.
Go ahead, take a seat.
Good to see you. Hi. Good to see you. Hi, Kaya.
Cool. Oh, come on down.
Oh, here comes some
more. Awesome. Awesome.
See you guys.
So, so, how can you tell another person, or if there's a struggling soul out there, that love is to be found in this world? It's through kindness. Last week, Miss Susie talked about using your tools. She said to be the best you can be. Does everybody remember that?
Yeah.
Bring out your hammer and be the best?
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to kindness, is there ever too much?
No.
So don't be afraid to be kind. A hug, a smile, a few nice words, all have the power to turn a life around. And when this isn't enough, it's time to bring more kindness. What do you think, right? You know, people often forget what you say or even what you do, but they don't forget how you made them feel.
Aww.
So be the best kindness you can be. And I invite you to repeat after me. Kindness begins with me.
Kindness begins with me.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Should we do the affirmation for the kids since it's been so long? Can we have them stand up and do
okay,
we love, we bless
let's
you?
Do it.
You want me to do it or do you want to? Do you remember the words? Okay. Let's have all the kids stand up, and I'll stand up too. Okay? And then the congregation's going to repeat after me. That's your sister?
Great.
I know. It's wonderful. I've met your sister. Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot to say, kiddo. Okay, so we're gonna repeat after me, and you guys can repeat after me too if you want, okay? We love you.
We love you.
We bless you.
We bless you.
We believe in you.
We believe in you.
You are the face of God.
You are the face of God.
And so it is.
So it is.
Awesome. Thank you. There you go. Good job.
Thank you.
good, didn't it? Have kids back up on the stage again? I think I'm getting a little teary. Holy goodness. Alrighty, so I'm sorry, Kathy, it's time for you to pray. Good luck.
That was beautiful. May I ask the practitioners and ministers here and at home to stand in support of this prayer, knowing there is one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect, and that life is my life now. Knowing that this life is so full of love, of beauty, of kindness, of goodness, of joy, of ease, of flow. And it's so good to know that I am one with that, one with the oneness that is this life. And as I know this for myself, I know this for each and every one of us here in this congregation, at home, on the YouTube later, just knowing that we are all connected and one with this glorious life. And I know today is blessed beyond blessed. I know that the words that are spoken reach us so deeply, open our hearts, create more room for more kindness, for more love, knowing that the songs we hear fill our hearts with absolute joy, knowing that as we hear this today, we are lifted in ways that we can't even imagine, and that this upliftment fills us and carries us through these doors into our world, into our friendships, our families, into our communities, to those who we serve, those who serve us, knowing this ripple effect just creates more and more love, more and more kindness, more and more possibilities. I am just so grateful for this. I'm so grateful for this service. I'm so grateful for Reverend Bonnie. I'm so grateful for all who are here joined in this effervescent love. And with a full and grateful heart, I release these words into the law. And together we say,
and so it is.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy. Our sacred reader is out of town today. He's probably driving on the freeway right now listening to Audible, so we send him love. But we move into the sanctuary of our hearts and just trust that Spirit's word has been spoken already through Kathy, through the beauty of friendship, through the beauty of community here together and beyond, through the beauty of those that are listening now and later, and through the beauty of all the lives that this day will touch. Today we are here to remember the truth that was implanted within us before we even came to this planet, the truth of who we really are, consciousness, awakening consciousness here in a human body, both fully human and fully divine, fully immersed in the light and the love of God as we embrace and befriend the shadow and the darkness, all of the aspects of being human intersecting with all of the aspects of being divine. And so how wonderful it is to remember the truth of our existence and who we came here to be. Remember the truth of letting go. Remember the truth of receiving. All of that and so much more. And so as we sing together our chant, I am remembering who I am, let us remember whatever is most dear to us, whatever is most truthful to us about the truth of existence. And we remember it for ourselves, we remember it for the people in this spiritual community, but most of all, we remember it for all beings everywhere, using this consciousness, using this sacred time together to bless the world, to bless the cosmos, to bless all things. Together we sing, I am remembering.
I am remembering.
And in the depth and the power of that true remembrance, let us feel it privately within our souls for one more moment. And then breathe in deeply. And exhale, opening our eyes in love and in service to what is, as it is, and so it is.
Love has got a hold on me. Love has got a hold on me. Love has got a hold. Yes, love has got a hold. Yes, love has got a hold on me. I've got help on my journey.
So that song was in sweet remembrance of one of our beautiful practitioners, Fred Mondragon, who passed away over the summer, but he was a musician, related to a very famous musician, the guy who played bass on the Jaws theme, you know, dun, 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 that's his father. And let us know together that Fred heard that. Fred was watching that and watching our hearts swell with joy and remembrance of him. So in contemplating what to speak about today, I was thinking back to a few weeks ago. We had our friend and our brother, Nimmo Patel, come, and I did an interview with him. And for those of you who may not have been here, Nimmo Patel was an American rapper. And he's an Indian-American rapper from India. His parents are from India. And he decided to give all of that up and work with the children in this slum community called Manav Sadhana. And he works with them on music, and ultimately they created this beautiful show called Jai Jagat, which is like a celebration of glory to the earth. And they've done several tours, and about maybe 3 years ago or so, they were going to do a tour and bring it to the United States, and our center was very much involved in doing the fundraising and bringing the children over to the United States so that they could fulfill their dream, fulfill their goal of doing this wonderful tour for America and also in England. And when I spoke with Nemo, we talked about this story that continues to inspire and perplex me a little bit too, somewhat, because when push came to shove, it was all very, very last minute about whether or not the kids could get their visas or not to come to America. And days before, they didn't have their visas, and they thought they might have to cancel the trip. And when we spoke on a Zoom call with all of the volunteers from various organizations that were responsible for helping these kids get to the States and to England, Nemo said, you know, actually, it's not really about the trip. It's not really about the goal of having this show and doing this trip and doing this tour. It's much more about the process that we went through. And my thought was, well, maybe to you it is, but I want to see those kids here in America, and I want them to come to the church and have this whole celebration that we were planning. So I was a little attached. Let's put it that way, okay? And as it turned out, they were able to come, and it was fine. And they, you know, they trusted in God, and they tethered their camel too, and everything was fine, and they came. But it got me thinking about the idea of goals. And our goals, they were so detached and so, non-clinging to this idea of the result that it made me think about our relationship with goals, my relationship with goals. Because, you know, often in metaphysical teachings, we're taught to have a goal, to have a strong goal for something. Napoleon Hill. I love that. Napoleon, you know that I love punchlines from cell phones, so I think you should all put your cell phones on, you know, whatever tune it wants to play. But anyway, Napoleon Hill says that we should cultivate a burning desire for that which we want. And there's all kinds of ideas about, you know, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And Ernest Holmes, you know, that you pray until the demonstration is made. And all of that feels very goal-oriented to me. And I was thinking, well, is that wrong? Is that wrong? Is that something that we shouldn't do? Or should we cultivate a little bit more detachment? So today is about the idea that perhaps one of us have in this congregation, perhaps more than one of us, perhaps all of us have a goal. Something that we really want to have happen, something that we really want to manifest in our lives. And what is our relationship with that goal? What is our relationship with that idea of manifestation? And how can we have a really healthy and happy and constructive and ultimately more satisfying relationship with this thing that we call goals? There is this idea that, you know, a goal is a good thing or a goal is a bad thing. And my answer to that, is a goal a good thing or is a goal a bad thing? I would say yes, it's both. It can be both, depending on our relationship with it. There's much in spirituality, particularly in mystical spirituality. You know, when I think about the teachings of Islam, there's a commentary that says that God is a hidden treasure that loves to be known, and God creates the world through us. In Christianity, in the Gospel of Thomas, let me read this quote so I get it right. In the Gospel of Thomas, there's a saying that is, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. Let me read that again. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. I think Jesus maybe could have used a little less aggressive language there. I don't know that it's going to actually destroy you, but you might live a life of wanting and desperation if you don't bring forth this divine impulse that is within you that wants to express in the world. Mark Nepo also said that love is like water. And so, you know how water will take whatever shape you give it. If I were to pour water into that container, it would take that shape. If I were to pour water into the piano, which I'm not going to do, by the way, Chris, it would take whatever shape the piano was. If I were to pour water in my cupped hands, it would take that shape. So love, or God, is like water. It needs a shape in order to express. And so all of that makes me feel like goals are a good thing. Goal gives a constraint, that goals are a necessary thing for spirit to pour itself into, for spirit to, in order to manifest. You know, there's this saying that I love. I think one of my creative artist friends told me this, and she's like, creativity loves restriction. Which doesn't seem to make sense, but it kind of does. Because if you say to a writer, you know, just write anything, what am I going to write? I'm paralyzed. I don't know what to write. There's too much, right? But if you give a writing prompt, and say, write about your first pair of shoes, bam! I got them at Stride Right, and they were little red sandals, and they were really cute. So something, spirit, the immensity of spirit needs a container, needs something for it to take shape within, something for it to form itself into, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, another thing, too, that we've been talking about, I've been doing these wisdom Jesus classes, these wisdom Jesus classes, which sound oddly like Buddhism and Sufism to me, but, you know, it's all one religion. As Nemo said, God doesn't have a religion. It's all one. It's all about love. But we've been talking about this idea of kenosis, and kenosis means self-emptying, and Cynthia Bourgeau, the author of this book that I'm teaching, says that it is the primary, let's, for lack of a better word, let's say strategy of Jesus, which is self-emptying. And a lot of the class discussions that we've been having, we've been talking about how self-emptying is moving out all of those things that we want to release, kind of like Lonnie's comments on fall, that we're letting go of things, and we're letting go of the ego, and we're letting go of the things that stand in the way of our highest expression. But there is another aspect of self-emptying that I think that I neglected to clarify in the classes, and that is becoming very clear to me right now, even as I'm speaking, is that self-emptying is also that spirit has poured itself into us, and we get to experience the joy of spirit as we empty what has been poured within us into the world, so that we get to become like the energy of God as we have this open channel to pour the love that has been given to us into the world in whatever manifestation, into whatever container we are giving it. And sometimes a goal can be a good container for that. So there's this beautiful, beautiful idea that we have been given something and we get to give it form in time and space. And yet, sometimes the goal is not the goal. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I remember being in the School of Ministry and one of my colleagues, which I thought was sounded a little bitter at the time, but I think she was right. You know, there's all these things you have to do, right, Jennifer? Right? There's all these things you have to do, all these hurdles you have to jump, all these tests you have to do, papers you have to write, lectures you need to attend, various tasks you need to do, internships whatsoever. And my colleague said, yeah. You know, the School of Ministry has just given us a bunch of tasks so our brain can be busy while we mature in consciousness. Right? So the goal is not necessarily accomplishing the task. The goal is to mature in consciousness. And that, to me, feels a little bit more like an intention, but we'll get there in just a moment. Because there is a dark side to goals, and we embrace the dark side of goals, and we're not afraid of the dark side of goals, so we can look at them. We can look at it. Sometimes with goals, we get a little teeny, teeny bit transactional. Anybody? Let me explain what I mean by that, and perhaps a few more thumbs or pinkies will go up if I ask for a show of pinkies. We say to ourselves, and this is often unconscious, we say to ourselves, if I get this thing that I want, if I achieve this thing that I want, then I will be acceptable. If I get this thing or I achieve this thing that I want, then I will be happy. At the same time, there's a flip side to that. There's a flip side of, if I don't achieve this thing that I want, then I will be unworthy, then I will not be acceptable. If I don't get this thing that I want, then I will be unhappy. And so you see that's a slippery slope, right? That's a slippery slope to be transactional with our goals. The other thing, too, is that often if we get too transactional with our goals, there's a certain element of clinging to this thing that I want to manifest, clinging to this thing that I want to achieve, clinging to this thing that I need, that I think I need, this form that I think I need, or pushing away that which I don't want. And that's a form of resistance. Either clinging or pushing away are both forms of resistance that are, I won't say guaranteed, but pretty close to guaranteed to getting us what we do not want to have happen. Isn't that brutal? Who thought that up? You know, clinging or pushing away, resistance helps us get what we do not want to have happen. It's what they say about worrying. Worrying is like praying for that which you do not want. Isn't that special? Anybody here? Show of pinkies. You know, we show our pinkies when it's a little embarrassing. Or you can show, oh, look, somebody's showing their whole hand. David, yeah. Anybody here ever pray for what they do not want to have happen? Okay. I can raise both hands on that, you know. So that's some of the trouble that we get into with goals. The other thing, too, is that sometimes our relationship with goals postpones our joy. That, okay, we want this thing and we're going to be happy when we get it, but what about being happy now? We want this thing and we're going to feel fulfilled and we're going to feel important when we get it, but what about being fulfilled and important now? And that's kind of messing with the truth, because the truth is that the capacity for happiness and the capacity for fulfillment, the capacity for the realization of God, which is all that we really, really want, that is happening right now. That is received in the present moment. Not thinking about the past or regretting the past and regretting why we haven't done it sooner and not hoping for a better future, but the beauty of staying in the present moment and manifesting what we want to have right now. And the secret of that is what I would say is intentions. If our goals are causing us stress, if our goals are causing us to put too much emphasis on the future at the expense of what is now, I would say that rather than thinking about our lives in terms of goals, think about our lives in terms of intentions. Other words for intentions are aspirations and also inspirations. Diane Harmony writes about the difference between goals and intentions. Diane Harmony wrote a wonderful book that we've taught at this center a lot called The Five Gifts of an Abundant Life. And she writes that the difference between goals and intentions is that goals are those declarations to which we have added attachments, or, as I said before, transactions. Intentions, on the other hand, have no added attachments beyond our agreement to serve as the vehicle through which our intentions will manifest. Intentions are much more about allowing. Intentions are about allowing. One of the ways that we discern the intention behind a goal is to ask questions about it. You know, so often we do this in our practitioner training. Somebody will come in with a very specific goal, and it's not wrong to pray for something specific. Sometimes, I remember my practitioner telling me this years ago, and I've always held on to this idea. Sometimes when we are extremely specific about what the manifestation or what the gift needs to look like, we limit the ability of the law to work. You know, we get in way. I always quote that nun that says, "Leave enough room for the Holy Spirit." Right? We get in the way of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's trying to make this thing happen over here. Meanwhile, something great is happening over here, but we miss it because it has to look this way, right? So if somebody comes to us with prayer, or if we're coming to ourselves with prayer for something really specific, there are several questions that we can ask ourselves to get closer into the realm of intention. One of them, really simple. If I get this thing that I want, how will I feel? Will I feel abundant? Will I feel joyful? Will I feel happy? Will I feel peaceful? Will I feel loved? And then the other thing is, if I get this thing over here that I want, in the future that I want, what will that allow me to express? Same list of things. Will it allow me to express love? Will it allow me to express more joy? Will it allow me to express more abundance? Will it allow me to express more peace? That's how we get to the heart of our intentions. And then we can look at some of the benefits of attention, of intentions rather, or aspirations or inspirations. There's much more of an energy of allowing versus transaction. We allow it to pour through us. And we can have what we want. We can have love, peace, joy, harmony, independent of any circumstances that are around us. Has anybody ever experienced that? Something, it feels like everything is going wrong. And you still feel happiness, you still feel joy, you still feel love. I'll tell you what, it happens in weddings all the time. You know, when I've done so many weddings in my 20 years as a minister, holy guacamole, how'd that happen? 20 years as a minister, I've done so many weddings, and there's often a lot of stuff going wrong. And I always tell the couple, you gotta laugh at this stuff. These are gonna be the stories that you tell. Over and over again. It's not going to be about, oh, the church was so beautiful. It might be. But the best stories are going to be the ones where all the power goes out, or your sister drops your husband's script from the show he was stage managing on Broadway in a puddle. That was, okay, my wedding, okay. But I'm not bitter. Not at all. We've forgotten. But it's always the stories like that that are the big things. And you know, the things that go wrong, oh my gosh, in a way, you know, if you look at television, if you look at movies, if you read books, it's always the source of comedy, the things that go wrong. And you can have that, no matter what is going on, you can have that intention or that aspiration right now. You can have the love, you can have the joy, you can have the peace. It's just not dependent on external circumstances. It is dependent upon the presence of God, that which is within you that wants to be expressed through you, coming forth and expressing in ways that are surprising and ways that transcend conditions. And there is nothing better than that. That transcends any material goal that we could want to have, absolutely, because that's something that's like the, you know, the secret, that movie, The Secret, right? That's the real secret, is to be able to be joyful and peaceful and loving and filled with abundance no matter what the conditions are around us. That's the real secret, because that's the truth. That's the truth behind who we really are. The other thing about living from a more intentional place versus a goal-oriented place is that it allows us to create. And by us, I mean the highest part of ourselves. It allows us to create from a place that is beyond what we think we know, beyond the known. You know that there is unlimited capacity within us, and yet we only tap into a tiny, 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 tiny little portion of that capacity. If we open up to an intentional reality and allow the intention of spirit to pour through us, then our creativity expands exponentially. And so I did this in class the other day. How many, just say yes. Just say yes or hallelujah or whatever it is. We're going to get all Baptist-y here now in just a minute. So how many of us believe that God is infinite? Say yes. Okay, and if you say no, feel free to say no too. That's fine too. How many of us believe that we are one with God? How many of us believe that infinite creative potential can manifest through us? Yes. How many of us believe that no human material circumstances are bigger than God? Yes. You got that down. I can sit down now, because that's all you need to know, really. That's really all we need to know. And the land of intentions brings us out of that place, of fear into a place of understanding the spiritual truth and allowing that spiritual truth to work through us and to work for us and to work on behalf of all beings. And that's part of the beauty of intentions, too, is that it's not only about blessing us, it's about blessing the entire world. As we manifest our intentions, as we express our intentions, we bless the entire world. And I said as is a really important word in spirituality, because, you know, as I mentioned before, goals tend to be in the future, but intentions tend to be in the present moment. We don't have to wait to be happy. We don't have to wait to be peaceful. We don't have to wait to be abundant. We can express and experience all of those things now. We experience it internally through the quality of our thought and our heart, our mind. We express it through our action, through living like the truth of abundance is true, through living like the truth of love is true. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you choose to live like the truth of, let's say, love is true. If you are expressing love, you are honoring that intention, and the life that you want is already being manifested through you. You know, I've been doing this process with Service Space for the last 21 days, finished the other day, and one of the things that came to me, we were supposed to, I can't remember what the prompt was, but we were supposed to be expressing some, I think it was Hinduism, aspect of welcoming the stranger. And I was having a really busy day, and I'm like, I'm not welcoming any stranger. Oh, I don't have time for that. But what happened, because I set an intention like, no, you can welcome a stranger, and it will come in a unique way, in a way that is sacred to you, in a way that is joyful to you, because joy is sacred to me, and it'll come in a way that blesses everybody. And so I went to Starbucks, and I welcomed a chocolate chip cookie. But don't tell anyone, because I'm not supposed to eat sugar, okay? No, I went to Starbucks, and the woman who served me had a tattoo on her arm. And I just had this little voice in my head that said, ask her about her tattoo. And I asked her about her tattoo. And she said, well, I'm from Indonesia, and this flower is unique to Indonesia. And it reminds me of my home. And I'm also a Christian, so I have olive branches around it. And that reminds me to remember the peace that's in the Gospels. Hallelujah. Praise Buddha, Allah, Jesus, Rumi. Praise Diane. It's as easy as that. It's as easy and as powerful as that. And you know what? That little gal in Starbucks who I haven't seen since, she doesn't know. But she's rippling out to this congregation. And maybe one of you will ask somebody about your tattoos, their tattoos, or show your tattoo, whatever. And it'll be a whole ministry, and it'll take over the world. Okay, never mind, I'm getting carried away. So, you know, the thing about, the thing about intention, this is a little harder to explain, but I'm going to do my best. The thing about intention is that fear, you know, what often gets in our way of goals is fear, and however fear manifests. You know, for me, in the case of doing the Hindu practice of welcoming the stranger, it was fear that I didn't have enough time to welcome the stranger when all I really needed to do was go to Starbucks and have a conversation with somebody. Intentionality can draw us out of fear because there's an immediacy to it. How many of us like immediate gratification? Right? And if we're working from a place of intentionality and we say, you know, I want to express and experience love in my life, I'm going to just do it today. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. We could do it right now. You can do it in the social hall after service. You can do it right now. You can just bless yourself right now. We did it when we blessed our children who were sitting on the stage. Intentionality can transcend fear. And the other thing, too, is that it can transcend fear, even old fear. There's this quote that I want to share with you. And it says, it's from Rilke. And it says, our deepest fears are like dragons guarding our deepest treasure. You know? I heard that on a TV show, so it must be right. It was a nice TV show. It wasn't what I usually watch, like about serial killers and whatnot. It was Ted Lasso. Beautiful TV show, by the way. Beautiful TV show on Apple TV. But anyway, that fear is like a dragon guarding our deepest treasure. And I remember going to music school and learning that, you know, that all of us had intentions to be a performer, to learn how to sing better, or to do something with our art, to do something with this beautiful quality that wanted to move through us. And I remember the guidance counselors took all of the freshmen into a room, and she said, you are going to be afraid. You are going to be very afraid. And she said, but don't worry about it. The only reason that you're afraid is that it's so meaningful to you that you want to make sure that you do it. And that sometimes generates fear. And see, the thing is with intention is that we can transcend that. First of all, we can see it. We can see that fear is just a normal part of the process. But we can also see that fear can be transcended in the moment by giving what we choose to receive or giving what we want to give right then, right now, not waiting until some future goal to be manifest. One of the few regrets that I have in my career as a singer was, this is so random that this happened, but I remember feeling like I wasn't getting enough work, and I worked at Sloan Kettering, which is a major cancer hospital, and a lot of they had a lot of celebrities there, and there was a celebrity author there, and I was, I had no business doing this, but I was telling her about my problems. she had cancer. I was telling her about my problems, about not getting work as a musician. And she said, here's what you do. You get some friends together. You go sing in nursing homes, retirement centers. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's beneath me. That was a mistake. That was an error. You know, I'm glad the way that my life turned out. I'm glad to be here. But that's the type of capacity that I'm talking about, is that we can express what we wish to express right here and right now, no matter what it is. So if you want to be a singer, sing out, Louise. Join the choir. Oh, goodness. We turn from goal from our, let's say we can have a healthy relationship with goals, but let's say we have an unhealthy relationship with goals. We turn from goal to intention through our attention. We put our attention on the present moment and how we are working with goals and intentions in that present moment. Last week when I spoke, I talked about getting on a call with a bunch of ministers. And I'm not sure how much detail I went into. I can't remember. But at the beginning, we're all being super polite, like, yeah, how you doing? Oh, great, great, really good. How are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm exhausted. And then somebody else goes, I feel like a failure. And then somebody else goes, you too? I feel like a failure too. Oh my God. And then the whole room was like, oh my God, I feel like a failure too. And how counterintuitive that seems, to the ego. But really, it was so good to just be able to admit that in that moment, we were feeling like a failure. And you know why we were feeling like a failure collectively? Because of stupid COVID. Because church doesn't look like church used to look like 2 years ago, right? Now, why should that be a failure? That's just the ego telling us that it needs to look the same as it always did. And so, after that conversation, I was one of the ones like, oh my God, I feel like a failure too. I looked at it and I was like, you felt like a failure in that moment. But really, if you want to do some spiritual work around this, why don't you look at what you want to express through church? And by church, I mean life, all of our life. And by me, when I'm talking about me, I'm talking about all of us. So whatever it is, whether it's church, whether it's family, whether it's job, whether it's something else, why don't we, if we're feeling like a failure, if we're feeling less than, if we feel like we're not getting what we want, why don't we look and see what the intention is, what it is that we wish to express and experience through this, and start expressing that right now. And so I looked at church and I looked at what I love about it, and I love to pray. Oh my God, I love to pray so much. I love to pray and I love to know the spiritual truth. I love to tap at this mystery and understand and hold the spiritual truth to my capacity to understand it, and to try to move beyond the wordless word, and to try to understand Spirit's grace in that which cannot ever capture it. But it's just such a joy to keep trying and to keep exploring and to keep going deeper. I love that so much. And just to teach classes and to be part of the blossoming of people in this congregation. I blossom as they blossom. And I love so much about it. So just to focus on that. Just focus on that, you little stinkers. just focus on that and start doing that, and all will be well. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. And when I go to that place, I think of, I'm going to misquote again. Somebody can correct me after the service, please. Feel free, or during. But, Hildegard von Bingen, I don't even know if that's her name. A mystic. What is Hildegard Bingen? Okay, there's no Vaughn in there? Well, what does she know? No. A mystic from days of yore. I don't know the year, that's why I said days of yore. A mystic who said, all is well and all will be well. And that's the truth about church. That's the truth about your life. That's the truth about my life. That's true about all of our lives. All is well. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever that church or anything else needs to look like it did yesterday. And you know why? Because there is so much creative potential in every single moment that we can reinvent something. We can allow spirit to reinvent something. We can allow the kenotic power, the kenosis power, the pouring through of spirit to come through and express in mystical ways. But we do that through our attention and our intention, by having the intention to express what is most right, what is most noble, what is most holy, and then to focus our attention on that. To think on these things, to think about what is right, what is noble, what is holy, to think about what is gorgeous, to think about what is skillful, to think about what is powerful, to think about what is graceful, to think about what is good. And then not only to think about it, but to express it in every opportunity that we can. And when we forget, when we get fearful, we just say, oh yeah, fear. That's just a little dragon that's guarding our greatest treasures. So let's take a good look at those treasures and start expressing those out into the world. We can all do this, folks. We can all do this. If I can do it, because there's only one of us, we can all do this. And I don't do it every day. I don't remember to do it every day, as probably many of us won't remember to do this every day, to focus our attention on our highest and most noble intentions. But that's why we have community, to lift each other up, to support each other, to learn from each other, to love each other. Let's do that now. Let us pray.